Today, we begin a couple of weeks of concentrating on education. A couple of years ago, some smart alecks in the state legislature came up with a brilliant idea. Gee, let's have school board elections in the fall. Not realizing everybody and their brother runs for office in the fall, in November. And there's a lot of important issues surrounding public education in our city, in our county, and our state. And we talk a lot about education on this program, not just IPS, but everywhere African-American youngsters are getting an education. And so we decided that 2 years ago, we started inviting school board candidates from other than IPS to come on the program so the community could hear from them, find out where they stand on educational issues in those school districts. We're continuing that again. We are doing more interviews with school board candidates than any electronic media in the city. And I believe even the Star is not doing as many interviews with candidates for school board as we are. They just have you to fill out a form. That's all they do. We're having people come in and talk, and our interviews will be archived on our website, praiseindy.com, for the whole community to hear. And so with all of that, we begin today. In our second hour, we'll be candidates for the school board in Lawrence Township. Tomorrow, a army of candidates who are running for school board out on the east side in Warren Township. Next week, IPS will be here on Monday and Tuesday. Wayne Township will also be here on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the 23rd, an army of candidates from out in Pike Township. But we begin with Washington Township. And as we introduce these, we're going to kind of just let the community know about these particular areas. Washington Township, the Washington Township school area, according to the 2010 census, was 27.2% African American, 3.1% Asian, 8.5% Hispanic, 60.6% white non-Hispanic. In the Washington Township School District, and I'm so happy Tony Bennett finally updated his website. You would think man's running for re-election, he ought to get his website together. Washington Township last school year had about 11,200 students enrolled. Of that number, 40.2% were African American, 14.7% were Hispanic, 33.7% were white, 7.3% were multiracial. 52% of the students in the Washington Township schools were on free and reduced lunch. So as you can see, the complexion or the composition of the overall school district of Washington Township differs some from the school board. In the studio, there are four candidates on the ballot for Washington Township schools. Some are at large, some are by district. But we have all four of them there. Three are physically here. One, because it's fall break, extended break, whatever they're calling these new breaks, Washington Township. One of the members is out on break with his young people, but he's here by phone, which we do allow. In the studio with me is Wanda Spanrotti. She is one of the incumbents running for re-election on the Washington Township School Board. David Sternberg and James Hill are challengers running for the privilege and the opportunity to be on the school board. Tony DeZwanert, I'll get it right before we get to the end of the hour. DeZwanert is on the phone. He is an incumbent running for re-election. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Let me start with the lady, Wanda Spanrotti. Why are you running?
I am running to be re-elected for the school board because I am very interested in education for all children. The work that we've done and the work that we want to continue to do is to ensure that all children, regardless of race, ethnicity, or economic status, is eligible to have the best academic education that they can have.
Tony DeZwanert, why are you running?
Good afternoon, Amos. Very similar reason. I'm very concerned about the quality of education in Washington Township and want to see that a high-quality education is continuing to be offered to all students in our district.
James Hill, why are you running?
Well, I've been associated with the school district for a long time. I taught within the district and was an administrator in the district for 35 years. My kids attended, and I'm just invested in the school system and the community, and this is a new way to serve.
And David Sternberg, why are you running?
Without question, we have to ensure that we are offering the best education possible to everyone. But I think we're at a time when we need to be looking at alternate ways to do work. And I'm sure we're going to talk about today all the things that have come in about by the way of changes, but we need to consider how we do our work, how we do it effectively and efficiently, and where we find new revenue streams beyond taxes.
Let me ask the four of you. Washington Township Schools is a mature school district, and when I say that, it doesn't have a lot of enrollment jumps or losses. It's kind of steady, maybe like a road in the rolling hills of southern Indiana, as opposed to a mountain where there are sudden shifts. How much has the voucher system, because there's only a couple of charters, math and science, I think, is really the big charter in Washington Township. But how much of an impact has the vouchers with young people who live in Washington Township being able to go to parochial schools? Is that a concern if you are elected to the school board that is a potential financial drain? And that's going to cause Washington Township to tighten their belts further. Let me start with Tony Dozwana.
You did a fine job pronouncing that, by the way. no troubles. I don't believe that vouchers are a great concern financially to the district at this point. Washington Township, in its 50-year history, I think, has been a district that has competed for students for quite a while. There have always been a number of private school options for those who had means, and the district has had a history of being competitive with any other option. I do think that the voucher system raises some difficulties or some concerns from the concept of what public education is and what it means to a democratic republic that we have, and I do think it's very important and vital to continue to strengthen, to improve public schools, because those are where all members and aspects of our community come together, and I think it's important to continue to have very strong public schools in our community.
David Sternberg.
Well, and Tony's right. You know, we have probably the majority of private schools are in Washington Township, so we're accustomed to providing a terrific product and competing with people who have the ability to go to private schools. And the district has probably over the last 10 or 12, 15 years become so diverse. Mm-hmm. Bring whomever wants to come get a tremendous education, Washington Township's the place to come get it.
James Hill.
I couldn't agree with either of them more. Having been in the school for years and years, North Central has always been a draw for private students coming out of, say, middle school level. And I don't see why the schools can't continue doing that. In terms of a financial drain, I mean, there's always a risk of losing students, and yes, money and all of that. But I think the way you present that, if you will, to the community is you provide them with the quality schools they're accustomed to. And then you draw who you want and why you want them there.
Wanda Spanrotti.
I agree with everyone. I don't think that we only do, at this point, have one charter school that's in the district, and we have found that students may have left our schools to go there, but then they've come back. Mm-hmm. We provide an excellent, excellent education, and I think we're just as competitive as any private school.
Let me ask the two challengers here, James Hill, David Sternberg. If you're elected to the Washington Township School Board, what would you be articulating differently than those who are already on the board, James?
Well, I'm not sure I would articulate anything differently other than I think the board, under the leadership in a sense of the superintendent, we've got to make our case. Mm-hmm. I think public schools over the past several years have just been beaten down. And I think it's inappropriate. I also think it's unfair and also think it's untrue. And a lot of times I think boards of education need to get out, become visible, and say to the community, local community, but the larger community, you know, there are great things going on here every day with teachers and kids, and we need to celebrate those things and make our voice heard. We've kind of sat back, in my opinion, collectively as public schools and kind of taken the hits.
David Sternberg.
Well, I'd say three things. One is my professional background is helping nonprofit organizations understand how they can become self-sustaining. Now, I don't believe a school district is going to become self-sustaining based on the size of their budgets. But how can we look at new and creative ways to partner with corporate entities, individual philanthropists, to drive private dollars into public education? That's one issue. The other two things are the immense change, and Jay commented on it briefly, that has come in the last year. I think we need to stop and measure what's going on before we continue to make other changes. And then the ancillary issue to that is my fear is that this change is going to create a wave of retirements. And I think the school board owes it to the families, the students, the residents to ensure that the older, more tenured faculty members are mentoring younger teachers so that we can continue to do the same quality work we've done for decades.
Let me ask the four of you. It is the job of us, and listeners may think that it's the job of a school board to run the system. It's the job of the school board to monitor the administration of the system and to make sure everything is fiscally sound and policies are being followed, but not to micromanage. But one of the issues today in education is the quality of school leaders, not necessarily at the superintendent level, but at the building principal level, that schools are not. You talked, David Sternberg, about, you know, older teachers. You know, there's going to be a number of those who are in the baby boomer years will start to retire. And how do you mentor and teach those younger staff members to assume those responsibilities? But you know, how important is it for now the role of a board, just like in a corporation, in a business, or even in a nonprofit, the role of the board to make sure there's succession plans? In other words, if the CEO decides to run off to Bermuda and retire, you know, who's internal that can fill those shoes, or who is good and strong enough to run a school, whether it's North Central or Greenbrier or what have you. Is that evolving into one of the roles a board needs to play to make sure to nurture school leaders? Because one of the biggest Achilles heel to improving public education is the quality of the principal, not just the quality of the teacher. Let me start with Tony Deswanner.
Amos, that's absolutely true, but it's always been true. And I've served on the board for 4 years, and that has been a topic that frequently comes up, both with our previous superintendent and with our current superintendent. The role of the administrator in a school building is only becoming that much more important with the state law changes with regard to teacher evaluation. And so that always has been a concern in Washington Township and will continue to be one that I think the board works hand in hand with the superintendent on. It is the primary responsibility of the superintendent as the CEO of the district. But certainly I know that our board has had its finger on that pulse the 4 years I've served, and I would anticipate even more so in the future.
Wanda Spanrotti.
We have always been interested in a succession plan. Like Tony said, this former superintendent was always thinking about a succession plan, not only for the school, individual schools, but then also for the administration. We also focus a lot on mentorship. I know the superintendent is always encouraging other teachers in the district who are going after their superintendent or administrator license to spend time with her to understand her job, and then other administrative positions, as well as the principals are doing that. The other thing that we as a school board have done over these last few years is given teachers time to work together. Mm-hmm. It's that time of sharing, explaining to each other, showing each other how their teaching mechanisms works with other teacher or with other students. Teachers didn't, especially at North Central, did not have the time to really work together and share. And now we have allocated time for them to work each week, sitting down together, sharing. Teacher Susan has a problem with Johnny who doesn't learn like everyone else. Well, the other teacher says, but I've been successful with students like them, and they've shared ideas and shared the ways that they've been able to make kids successful. And so now that we've given them that time, we just heard last week at our last school board meeting, even though it's extra time that the teachers are now putting in. They really appreciate the time that they are having now to share with each other and to learn from each other. And that's how we're going to continue this, encouraging teachers to share with each other. And the younger ones learn from the older ones.
James Hill.
Yeah, I think that one of the roles the board should play in looking at longevity is to not necessarily dictate what should or should not be done, but to raise questions through the superintendent of what do we know, how do we know it? And in particular, I think back to a time when I was doing some administrative work, we were looking at the likelihood of retirements coming down the road. Mm-hmm. And so one of the roles that I took on for our principal at that time was to begin doing data analysis of who has served, how long have they served, how old are they, but what are the, in a sense, projecting out likely changes in staff. And from that, we could then make some decisions about how do we best utilize their skills, how do we move on, what do we look like we're going to need. But I think that the board's role in that is simply to raise the questions and let those we hire do their job and find the answers to those questions.
David Sternberg.
Well, Jay, I agree with all of that. I would add one notion. One, I think there needs to be a written plan at all times of succession for your CEO. If you're a corporate entity and as a school district, our CEO is our superintendent. Mm-hmm. And I think the world of her. I think she's terrific. But, you know, the other issue really becomes the thing that we have to keep our eye on, and I don't mean just observe from afar, is I'm not sure that we're really prepared the way we ought to be for the changes, the result of the changes that have been placed on our faculty and administrators. And I think that it's going to add an extra burden, and it's going to mean that the retirements, Amos, go, I think, beyond just the fact that people are boomers. I think it goes to the fact that teachers, administrators, I think they feel victimized by what's happened. I don't know that it's fair, but I think that has to be taken into account. And we need to do something a little bit more than just make sure that our administrators are aware of that.
Let me ask you, originally, a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Tony Bennett was on this show, and he said that Wednesday the 10th is when we're going to announce the letter grades, but now mysteriously, they have delayed that announcement till 7 days before the election, till like the 30th. And I don't know, because all the schools, I understand, know it, but you're not supposed to say it. But does this raise the question that that's one of the changes that perhaps has allowed the community to beat up on schools, to beat up on teachers and principals? Because nobody liked getting an F when they were in school, and nobody likes to see an F or a D on the school that their kids or their grandkids goes to. Let me start with James Hill. Are those letter grades an example of something that well-intentioned, you know, saps the life out of a school community?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, if you read the morning paper and talking about the resistance that's out there.
Yeah, some group coming in here trying to survey your teachers to sell something.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
But I think the bigger issue is if you look back through the history of where this A to F system came from, in all honesty, to me, it seems like it's something that was put together so we could get a waiver from No Child Left Behind. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Derek Ruttleman from the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, his comments, kids are supposed to be assessed individually on their individual growth. That's the intent. Pretty tough to argue against that. I agree that that's what it ought to be. But then you take criterion reference tests, right, and the state then puts in norm reference standards on a criterion test, and kids are not measured individually. They're measured by groups. Where is this coming from? And to be honest with you, if you look at school leaders across the state, what they're saying is, I have no idea how to explain this because I don't understand what it means.
Wanda Spanrotti?
Absolutely.
You're up here nodding your head.
Oh,
and everything.
My goodness. Yes, I was explaining to some people earlier today because of being an incumbent, we are privileged to know, you know, what the A through F looks like for us. And, you know, of course, we can't talk about it. But I was
Will my eyebrow go up when I see the date at the end of the month? Because I've already heard rumors in some other districts my eyebrow is going to go up.
When you look at Marion County, yes, I was like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. It would make, it's not going to be good news for Marion County. It's not going to be good news for people who are looking at moving into Indianapolis. You know, I think when we get new businesses to come here and people are looking at here, well, when they look at our A through F in Marion County, and they'll be like, oh my goodness, I can't live in Marion County. I can't let my children go to the schools. They're horrible. Mm-hmm. And that's not so. That's not at all so. And this A through F stuff really, really gives people a bad look, because you think about the A through F like you did when you were in school, the A through F, and that's not what it means. If you would say that a school is being watched or needing assistance or is working on a progress plan, that's altogether different than saying it's an F school.
David Sternberg?
Well, you know, I think they've been embargoed because, I have nothing to – this is my opinion. Yeah. I think they've been embargoed because Tony Bennett realizes they're not what he thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And it's an embarrassment to him as well. Now, that wasn't the question you asked. Here's the reality, okay? North Central High School has a lower graduation rate than some of the area high schools because we offer far fewer waivers than any other district. You get into playing games with the data. And what is at stake here is this. There are teachers teaching students who come to school unprepared to learn. That's the issue. Great schools, however you want. Amos, maybe C's will now be A's for Tony Bennett, and everyone will be happy.
Let me go to – and Tony does wonder.
The idea of creating a simple system to understand the quality of a school is a great idea. The difficulty is when you have a school system that's large or complex, it's not as easy to distill things into one simple letter grade. And I do believe there are limitations on simplifying things for folks. And you really do need to get into a school to understand everything that's going on there. And I don't think that a simple letter grade is going to explain fully all the good things or the things that need to improve in any school building.
Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. If you've got kids or grandkids in Washington Township Schools or live in Washington Township Schools, or you know people in Washington Township Schools, your opportunity to talk to the men and women who are on the ballot on November the 6th for school board. And remember, when you vote, school board is on the backside of your ballot, along with, shall we keep some judges on the Indiana Supreme and appellate courts? And those are just as important as the names on the top of the ticket. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
And your panel? How are you folks today?
Hi.
Thank you. Good.
I live in Washington Township. I moved to Washington Township because of its reputation over 15 years ago. I have two children. One is now a junior in a charter school because of the policies there in Washington Township, and the other is in an elementary school. And the chances are very likely that by the time she moves into middle school, we will be trying to find a charter school or a private school for her. I have a real issue with the changes in terms of the school district. It's gotten bigger and bigger, and it seems like the only issue for the school board is to sustain the institution, not to improve the quality of education. It took all the way to the charter school to have my son diagnosed as ADD. I have a real issue that was missed while he was in Washington Township through elementary and middle school. I'm trying to figure out who I should be voting for the school board, because this situation cannot continue. The school has gotten probably too big to fail. And yeah, to my way of thinking, maybe smaller increments of an educational system might work a little bit better than what is currently in place.
Are you saying, and let me make sure, Anonymous, are you saying it's the size of the middle schools and the size of the high schools that are a problem?
Yes, most definitely. When I took the tour when my son was in the eighth grade, my old knees hurt trying to walk through that place. You got that many students in a facility. You got, what, over 3,500 in any given day? A child that isn't probably, and we're talking about my African-American son, who isn't an athlete, who isn't going to bring recognition to the school in any particular traditional way, gets lost. And there was no way we were going to allow him to be lost up there. He was lost when he moved from John Strange to Eastwood.
Let me let the incumbents respond. Let me start with Tony Deswanner. Tony?
Sure. You know, every student situation is going to be unique to that student. But I would heartily disagree with the caller that the district is not attempting to improve itself or attempting to improve instruction for all students. There's no doubt that some of our buildings are larger than others, but I do believe that class sizes are very similar and that every teacher in every classroom is either seeking to improve themselves or their administrator is working with them to improve them so that the instruction received by every student in every building is better tomorrow than it was today. There is no doubt in my mind that that is the ethos of most staff and certainly of the leadership and the direction the district is taking. So I do believe that Washington Township is attempting to improve itself every day. Does that mean it's going to be a perfect fit for every student or that there will never be instances that could be improved upon? Absolutely not. But the overall philosophy is one of constant improvement.
The current charter school my son attends has several African-American males in it that would normally be in Washington Township. The whole notion of seeking to improve, I've heard for the last 15 years. My problem is, when are we going to reach the end of the goal? I mean, that some children are not falling through a wide mesh net.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important issue for myself as a father in this district and probably other African-American families as well.
Let me let Anonymous, hold on. Let me let Juan Despan-Roddy, as the other incumbent that's here, respond to your concerns.
Hi, thanks for your concern that we have. I agree with Tony that Washington Township is looking at all kinds of ways to put in to work with all students to help them improve what their academic education and try not to miss students. I am an African American and I am a mother of five. Four of my my children have graduated from North Central, and I have a seventh grader at one of the middle schools. I also am a graduate of North Central. I have one son that was an athlete that made a name for himself, but the other three were not. And what I found at North Central, even as large as it is as it is, and it's smaller now than what it was when I was a student there, because we had over 4,000 back students when I was a student there, and only three grades. It wasn't four grades. Each of my kids found their niche in their part of the school. Even though it's a large school, each of them found their own little world in which they were able to succeed and find growth in themselves. And I think that that's important for all students and for the school to give those kinds of opportunities for children.
David Sternberg, you talked in your opening about looking at doing different things, and I know Washington Township has a small number of buildings for the size of the school district, about 11 to 15 different schools is somewhere in that neighborhood, if my memory serves me right. But given the competition that exists now for education, should districts like Washington Township maybe look, and I think IPS has tried this with some successes, some failures, at some smaller buildings? You know, the Bill and Melinda Gates were hung up on having, you know, little baby high schools to do that. Some people think that's good. Some people think that isn't, to provide other options within a public school setting so the parent doesn't feel they need to do a charter thing.
Well, that would be wonderful. I'm not sure how you pay for that.
Yeah,
but listen, I think everyone should go where the right place for their child to go is. And, mm-hmm. and Amos, you know, unlike Tony and Wanda, who have done a great job as school board members. My wife and I have a child on an IEP and felt very much the same way that this caller feels.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is we have to come to terms with the notion that school districts are built for the 11,000 kids, not the 300 that have a special need. They're just not. I have found the response to be tremendous. I think the administration did a great job in response to our issues, but I know exactly why the caller is frustrated. And to your point, we need to put our kids in the place that is best for them. Period. And if it isn't Washington Township Schools, it's not Washington Township Schools.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We will take a break. There'll be a short break. We will be back. We've got the candidates for Washington Township School Board. In the next hour, the candidates from Lawrence Township. It's a Northside thing today. talking about your education. 239-1310. 239-1310 or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620. The keyword is Amos. It's After News with Amos after these. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go back to the phones. And is it Manama?
No, Manana.
Okay, Manana. Okay, welcome. What's up? You're on the air.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I had the pleasure of working with one of the candidates, David Sternberg, in the past. And I just wanted to say that in working with him, I can remember him having a strong work ethic, and his passion for education was very strong. So I really strongly encourage people that live in the Washington Township area to do their homework and background on this candidate. He really has a passion for education and really wants the best for children. So I really strongly encourage people to do their background on this candidate, and just really support him and in his efforts of what he's trying to do for Washington Township students and parents. I don't live in Washington Township. I'm a Pike Township parent, but I really support his efforts and what he's trying to do.
All right. Appreciate it.
I just want to make that.
All right. Appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. What's up?
I was calling kind of angry in a way, but I was listening to some of the candidates on there, and they were speaking about how they can better education, which is a very good thing. But my question is about safety. And the issue I have is that earlier in the week I had called you speaking, trying to get in touch with someone to help us out with a safety issue over in the complex that I stay in.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, and I...
Well, now you bringing it up, I got two school board current members on the line, and then I got two that want to be. Let me kind of, for the purpose of Wanda Spann, Roddy, and Tony DeZwanzar, who are here, this is a gentleman who... lives in one of the apartment complexes on the is it the south side of 71st or the north side of 71st?
It's the south
side. And which apartment complex?
The Arrowwoods
apartments. Arrowwoods apartments. And so when the beautiful Washington Township school bus rolls up, it's pulling up to the entrance of the complex. The kids are waiting at the entrance in the driveway along with other cars that come in and out. When the stop sign goes out, the cars on 71st Street stop because they see the handle. But the cars coming out of the complex, there's no stop for them. So they're not stopping. They're just going on about their business. And he asked Washington Township Transportation, gee, why couldn't the bus go in the complex and do a loop? And I wasn't sure of the geography. The caller's convinced that that bus, even a big bus, could make that loop around and come out. Go ahead.
Can I intervene?
Yes, you can. Okay.
Now, I did get in touch with the assistant superintendent.
Good.
She got back to me, but her answer didn't quite please me because the fact of it is it's still not helping with the idea that kids could get hit. She said that they could send out someone probably on the police force or something of that nature. Well, that was, you know, to help with the traffic. But that wasn't what we're asking. And when I say we, I'm talking about the parents in the complex. We're asking if a bus can enter into...
Right.
complex so that that would eliminate the kids from being out on that area there to get hit, because again there were a couple of kids that almost that did get hit. Well, I explained to her about the geographics of how when they come in there, we're not asking that bus to come all the way into the complex. There's a big area right there in the front of that complex where the bus, which is right by the first leasing sign there, that bus can make a turn, come in, pick the kids up, and make that, continue on and make that turn and go on out. This is what I was trying to get her to understand, and I have yet to hear from anyone as of now for this problem.
All right, well, let me let first Wanda Span Roddy respond.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hold on, Anonymous. Let Wanda respond.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
As a school board member, we don't deal directly with specific things like this, but we do share things on with the superintendent to be sure that things are handled. And I did just write it down, and I'm very, very familiar with your apartment complex and the neighborhood because that's not too far from where I live. And I sure will be able to, or plan to, let the superintendent know. Not the other people. I'll just go straight to the superintendent and let her know that is a concern. We are very, very concerned about the safety of our children, and if there is a potential of them getting hit, we want to make sure that we can do all that we can to prevent that. So I'll be sure to share this information on with our superintendent.
Okay, that's fine and dandy. That sounds okay with me. But my point is, and my question too, as well as now, I know you're a busy person. Yet still, the things must go on. Now, the kids go back to school next week. Now, between next week and from whenever you're able to get to this, the problem still exists because people still come in and out of there, and there's a possibility that a child could be hit between that time.
Is this the elementary, middle, or high school bus, or all three?
This is, I believe it's all three because at that time, at 7 before even 7:30 in the morning, there's kids out there. And this goes through even during the rush hour after kids get out of school and people are getting off work. So it's a pretty heavy traffic area.
Mm-hmm. And on, let me let Tony DeZwanzer also respond. And caller, exactly what's the cross street on West Lane?
Harcourt.
It's off of Harcourt.
Right.
You see, I'm going to try to pull it up here on my little satellite map while y'all talk. Tony?
It's just west of Harcourt.
Okay, Tony?
Yeah, I would concur with what Wanda had said and just point out that I think we all share a concern about the safety of students, and we do have to balance lots of different factors out, including space and the safety of getting a bus into a complex. So it's really so specific to those details, would encourage the caller or any parent to start with talking to the bus driver to understand the parameters the bus driver has, and then certainly as the caller has done to follow that up, if the discussion with the bus driver is not resolved to their satisfaction, and to take it up with appropriate folks in transportation and or security.
So I've spoken with the bus driver, and one of the buses, the issue was that they're saying that this is what the school tells them to do. They're just drivers. They had a bus that come in there that was from the Fox Hill area, which was a smaller bus.
Mm-hmm.
This was a little small bus which comes into the complex, which picks the kids up. They stopped that bus from coming in there for whatever reason, I don't know. You know, now that bus was able.
Did the complex? Wait. David Sternberg wants to interject.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is an example, I think, of the inability to solve a simple problem. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Here's the thing. I agree to the extent the school board members can't get involved in every single issue, but here's the simple solution. The school district needs to go talk to the apartment manager about how to solve the problem. And, I mean, you're getting all the typical answers that you would get if you asked the question. Well, we need to solve the problem differently. We need to think about things differently. We need to solve the problem because, you know, God forbid someone gets hurt. then everyone's going to say, why didn't we do X,
Y, and Rafael Sanchez be calling you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd hate to see that. I don't want anyone to get hurt.
And caller, is this Kingsford Drive, Knobwood Drive?
Pardon me?
Is this Knobwood Drive, Kingsford Drive?
No, that's you're talking about the street in
the street going in.
That's Warrior Trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna find this here because I'm trying to look at it on an aerial map and so that I can get visualized. But it's on 73rd west of Harcourt.
71st.
Yeah,
it's east of Michigan.
Okay.
Between Michigan and Harcourt. And, I live on Hoover Road, so I'm right around the corner from that spot as well.
And the cross street into the complex is Warrior Trail off of 71st?
No, sir. It's Harcourt, cross street there.
Okay. And then when I go west past Harcourt, I'm coming in. Okay, I got it. I see it now. And I see what the problem is.
And there's a lot of road construction going on here right now.
All right, I tell you what. They trust me. You've got two school board members. The one's on the phone. One's here in the studio. Trust me. They're making notes. Somebody's going to go look at that. And I've also now found the complex, and I see the way the street is. It is kind of hard for a big bus to make a loop, but it's not impossible.
Drivers?
Oh yeah, bus
those
drivers
guys,
do anything.
Those men and women are incredible. I mean, you know, I've seen them maneuver some incredible spaces.
I've seen the bus come in there and make that turn. It's not as if the bus is going all the way in the back of the complex. It's when you first enter into the complex.
I got it.
Turn you would make, that's where that bus can turn around and come out at. And there has been several buses at during the time I've lived there that made that turn. And I'm sure, I'm definite that a bus can make that
turn.
I
know you would. And I also now see the entrance off of 73rd. There's trees. It's kind of narrow. That street, I was thinking the intersection was kind of spread wide. It is not. And you've got somebody should have just looked it up on Google Maps on the aerial and figure that out. Trust me, people now have got their eyeballs on it. And if I don't hear anything within a week or two, then don't let me get involved in it. Anyway, I appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So let me go back to the phones. And Marlon, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
How are you doing? My name is Marlon. I'm pretty much a descendant of Washington Township. I came from IPS school 101, and then when I came to Washington Township in 90, roughly, it was a different frame of mind. I guess my call is to say this, and it goes back to some of what you spoke on yesterday about sort of city classic issue. With me, it starts at home. You know, I have two daughters, one that just graduated from North Central, a full-ride scholarship to Winston-Salem, another one on our way. I grew up in North Central where a time where it was Mr. Quant, Mrs. Lane, Eugene White, Mr. Young, and they pretty much had a mentality of no child left behind, stand by me. You know, and what I'm seeing in Washington Township now is that just like with the area, you know, so the body goes, so everything around it goes. And even though my children are on their way to be success stories, I just see that there's nobody to pull nobody in to let these kids know as a whole, you know, consensus that they don't need to be left behind. And it does start with the administrators and all of that, but I see the parents feeling like they're left out to let these kids wander on. And I'm just wondering what the panel or anybody on the panel can speak of that we can do as a community to bring this back up. Because if you really look at Washington Township, it's like it's going down. And like you said, the numbers reflect what really isn't true. But if you go by the numbers, then it's just that story just on a piece of paper.
All right. Let me start with James Hill.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're speaking about. And it certainly does reflect on the community's involvement with the school district. And I think the critical piece is the way in which we keep staying active in the schools, even when our children leave. My two daughters are both graduated from the school system. But the fact that, you know, I'm stepping up here to be on the school board is exactly what I think we need to do as communities. And not that everyone needs to run for school board or whatever. But there's nothing that says community members whose children maybe have finished through the school system don't stay active in the parent-teacher organizations, that they don't go to, you know, it's kind of once our kids are out, we tend to say, okay, we're done with that. But what strengthens a community is when those, in a sense, kind of experienced parents go to the schools and say, I'm here because I'm invested in this school, I'm invested in this community, how can I help? And how can I just be a part of it? So I think a lot of that would be helped, if you will, by us, in a sense, stepping out and getting involved in schools, even if we don't have kids in the schools. And so I think that's one way. We face that as a big hurdle in school districts, ours being no different, in that when you look at the makeup of the district, 80% of the folks in the district don't have kids in the schools.
Right.
Well, think what would happen if you had a community where 80% of those parents were involved.
All right, Marlon, great question. Appreciate it. We're with the candidates for Washington Township School Board, Wanda Spanrotti, David Sternberg, James Hill, Tony DeZwandar. We'll be back with your remaining moments. 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email, praiseindy.com, text message 85620, keyword Amos, Lawrence Township School Board candidates, coming up at the top of the hour. More after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's name is back to the phones. And Don, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Don, you're on the air.
Hello, all right. I've called in about that situation with the school bus.
Yeah.
They need to quit fiddling around with the people that just get in the runaround. Have him to call all the news stations and get this thing on Channel 6 before some child gets hurt, and then it's all on the news. Have him to get it on the news now. Just try to embarrass them. We're talking about a child's life here.
All right. I'm sure there are several newsrooms listening to this show. Somebody's making notes now. I appreciate it. Let me go to Brian at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, this is Brian. I was wondering, I'd like to know what one thing each candidate would like to change about Washington Township schools.
All right. Brian wants to know, is there one thing he would like to change about the Washington Township schools? Tony DeZwanner.
Well, I might defer to both Mrs. Spanrotti and Mr. Sternberger, because that will be the race that the voters in the township really have a choice on.
All right. David Sternberg.
Well, I mean, I'd like to see the school district think a little bit differently than it has historically. And in particular, I'd like us to explore what kind of partnerships we can have with corporate entities. I mean, there are examples in southern Indiana where corporations have funded full-day kindergarten. And if people think full-day kindergarten is funded, they're not getting a full piece of information there. There are examples where individual philanthropists are willing to put their own money on the table to make improvements to school. In fact, I was part of a group of people that raised $800,000 of individual donor money that we, through the school foundation, gave to the school district in order to help offset some of the expenses with our IB program. So that would be one thing, would be a culture change where we looked at alternate sources of funding.
Wanda Spanrotti.
I am wouldn't have anything to change. I would just continue to improve upon the academic success of all of our children, trying to be sure that all teachers have the professional development that they need to make sure that all of our children, again, doesn't matter between their race or their ethnicity or their economic status, they can educate them. And so making sure that the teachers have the skills that they need and that our students have the support that they need to be successful.
Are you all, the four of you running, satisfied with what Washington Township is doing to curb bullying? James Hill?
Oh, yeah. I think that the school district is a leader in this, and I would defer to Wanda on this one because she can speak more clearly about it because she's been part of the implementation. But it is a dynamite program that's done every year, and I wonder if I'm correct, in the past 2 years?
Past 3 years.
We've done it
for 3 years.
And this is a day where specialists come in, they meet with the kids, they process through the day, and the whole idea behind this program is to make sure that they understand the parameters of this. Just saying something under your breath mean to somebody can be considered. And so I would really, in many ways, defer that. I think we're the leader here, and we know that because the superintendent the other night at the board meeting announced that other school districts are now approaching Washington Township. They're asking about the program, how to get involved, what we like about it, et cetera. So,
Wanda, are we making progress at curbing bullying in Washington Township?
We are. We are in the middle schools. We're doing a program called Challenge Day, and it's something that is brought to us from a program that you can find on MTV. But it's where we have the facilitators come in. They're from California. They come to each of the middle schools and spend a whole day. We pull in 75 to 100 students that give the whole day, as well as teachers and community people. I come in. I'm a nurse that directs a program that is for at-risk kids in seven different high schools here in Marion County, including North Central. And I bring my staff, who are very equipped to working with kids who have crisis going on. And we, throughout the day, we work with them and learning, sharing with each other about how we're so much more alike than we are different. This year, I got to do it with my son, and he came after the program was over with. He said, "Mom, I didn't know that Susie had the same issues that I have, or that she's going through that problem. I wouldn't tease them anymore, because now I know." And as each year, as we do this program, more and more of the students are participating in it. And then there's follow-up program that now the children who participated in that one day are doing throughout the school year, throughout the day.
D will be our last call with candidates for Washington Township. D, you got about a minute.
Hey, Amos, I just have one question.
Uh-huh.
What are the candidates doing about the illiteracy problem in Indianapolis?
All right. What are you all doing about the illiteracy problem in Indianapolis, David Sternberg?
Well, I think you'll find, if you look at the progress in our school district, that the programs we have in place in terms of, for example, having International Baccalaureate be a district-wide program instead of just at the high school, is allowing students to learn in a way that is better for them. Our scores are strong. So when you talk about the entire city of Indianapolis, I think that goes a little bit past our purview in Washington Township. But compared to a lot of other districts, we do quite well.
Our final question for everybody: if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you? Tony Deswanner.
The Indianapolis Star's candidate guide would be one way, and they could certainly always email me or call me. My contact information is on the district website as an incumbent, but it is 585-8474.
And Wanda Spanrotti, how do people get a hold of you?
Like Tony, I can be on the Indy Star Voters Guide, as well as the school district website, because I'm an incumbent. And also, I have my own website. It's www.wandaspanrotti.com.
David Sternberg.
Facebook, David Sternberg. You can look that in by city in Indianapolis. And send me a text message, 317-506-7695.
And James Hill.
Yeah, I think the Star... certainly. And then also contacting through the Parent Council and the Washington Township Teachers Association.
And we will archive all of our school board candidate, as well as all of our candidate interviews, on the website definitely by in the morning at praiseindy.com. We want to thank Wanda Spanrotti, David Sternberg, James Hill, and Tony Duanzar. I knew I'd
thank
get
you,
it. Kind
yes.
of thank you guys,
thank
the
you,
candidates
Amos.
For Washington
thank
Township.
You.
Thank you, Amos.
Coming up next, we shift to the northeast side of Indianapolis, Marion County. Lawrence Township candidates for Lawrence Township School Board are in the house. We'll meet them after these.